While the EU works through its Greece problem, the U.S. has a Puerto Rico problem to the tune of $70 billion. Garcia Padilla, the governor of Puerto Rico, says that's how much of the Commonwealth's debts that are, quote, not payable. Some of that debt is owed to the U.S. government, some is owed to private investors. The problem is that Puerto Rico isn't allowed to file for bankruptcy, which means the government might have to negotiate some kind of agreement with its creditors. For more, we turn to Justin Velazhagen, who's founder of the National Puerto Rican Chamber of Commerce. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John, for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Would bankruptcy help in this case?
I do believe so. There's a number of reasons for it. One is if they're in a situation where they need to do some sort of restructuring, the way things are set up as is, it's kind of going to be a free-for-all where it's going to be a negotiation between debtors and the debtees and debtors. And right now there's no oversight to that negotiation process. So it's a difficult process that could be a little bit crazy, if you will. A lot of bluffing going on, a lot of hardballing, if you will, and everyone's going to want what they want and not necessarily get what they want. And if you have a restructuring process that's overseen by a judicial system, similar to a Chapter 9 bankruptcy situation for municipal governments, then you have a judge-ordered bankruptcy, and it's overseen by the judicial system, so it's a lot more organized. And I think that'll be the fairest process. The only problem is, of course, Puerto Rico is not allowed to go through that process right now.
And how did Puerto Rico get in this situation?
Well, they got here. There's a number of reasons, but really it came down to legislators in Puerto Rico who were offering a lot of benefits to the people. And obviously they want to get elected. They want to get reelected. Healthcare promises, benefits of jobs, certain benefits of employment through the government that they promised to offer and promised to maintain. And they were able to do that because there's a lot of lenders throughout the rest of the continental U.S., especially who are willing to lend money to Puerto Rico by buying their bonds. Bonds are really attractive in Puerto Rico for a few reasons. Number one, they're triple tax exempt, which a lot of people don't realize. But on top of that, they also have higher than usual yields. So returns to investors are higher than most municipal bonds around the country. So investors looking to invest in and possibly make a buck, especially speculators, especially hedge funds, especially those with a little bit higher risk tolerance, were constantly willing to give the funds to the Puerto Rican government that they wanted to use to spend, to invest in infrastructure, to invest in benefits, to invest in a lot of the services that they had promised and the people wanted. And it's kind of been a continuing cycle. There's been a lot of speculators have said, okay, they're paying it back. Somehow they're finding a way. At some point, everyone's seen for years that at some point there's going to be a problem. It's going to come to a head, but everyone's kind of gambled on the fact that it's not going to be today. It's not going to be my money. I can keep rolling over my funds, keep investing in Puerto Rico, keep lending them money because as of right now, it looks decent. At least that's what they've said in the past. It's really been a political reason that they've constantly been both asking for and spending more money to kind of maintain the positions that they promised.
Is part of the gamble here that lenders have thought that at some point the federal government was going to bail Puerto Rico out because it is a U.S. territory? Is that part of the sales pitch from Puerto Rico, buy these bonds because wink, wink, nod, nod, we know they're backed by the U.S. government?
I don't think so. I think it's almost been the opposite, where lenders have said, okay, Puerto Rico doesn't really have that backstop of the U.S. They also don't have the possibility for bankruptcy, so they more or less have more leverage in the negotiation process. If Puerto Rico wants to continue spending money, where are they going to get it? They have to get it from lenders. And lenders will come together and say, okay, Puerto Rico, you want more of our money. Here's what you have to do. So it's been almost a one-sided negotiation process from once they got to a point where Puerto Rico was more or less desperate to have more funds and continue to fund them. So just because of that leverage that was one-sided, lenders said, hey, you know, it looks like an attractive process until Puerto Rico gets to the point where they really are not bluffing and they have to do something, some sort of restructuring or renegotiation, or they won't be able to pay.
In a serious austerity situation, who's going to suffer first in Puerto Rico?
The people, the islanders. It's going to be, they have a high percentage of their population that's employed by the Puerto Rican government. It's higher than usual around the country. So once they start to make these more austere cuts and start to make cuts to government spending, you're going to see not only the more layoffs, more cutbacks, more employment cutbacks, but also to benefits. There's a huge health care benefit shortage in Puerto Rico right now financially. That'll probably increase. The shortage will increase. And they're already feeling the pain. They have 14% unemployment. And frankly, I think that's a huge underestimate of the real unemployment, given the informal economy as well. And they're going to be hit the hardest, of course.
And as far as solutions are concerned, how could this come down?
I think first and foremost, if the U.S. mainland, federal administrators and Congress really want to keep the taxpayers out of it, probably the best solution is really a court overseeing restructuring to Chapter 9 bankruptcy. I think would be the best way to start. From there, it's going to be like pulling off the Band-Aid. It's going to be a really strong jolt to the economy of Puerto Rico, as administrators are going to have to do what they haven't wanted to do for years. And they're going to have to make some significant austere cuts. It's going to hurt for a while, but in the long run, it's what has to be done.
Justin Velez-Hagan is founder of the National Puerto Rican Chamber of Commerce. Justin, thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.